Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Green 19 podcast. My name is Tom Silverstein. I am not Olivia Reiner, who is in Japan as we currently speak, covering the Olympics. So you'll have to put up with me as the host. However, I have a special guest, my colleague, Ryan Wood. Ryan, how's it going?
Doing great, Tom. It's great to be on here with you today.
Yeah. This is, it's nice to have, divergent opinions on here. And, just to get this thing started, it's been an interesting, of course, start to the training camp. And I got to be honest, I thought at this point in camp, we would still be talking about whether Aaron Rodgers was going to report to training camp. I figured he would come at some point, but I honestly thought this thing would drag on for a while. Are you surprised we're at this point?
I am. Standing there day one, I thought the most surreal thing was how normal it seemed. I mean, how many years have you and I stood there on the sideline day one of camp and seen Aaron Rodgers in that red number 12 jersey and just cutting up and having a good time? There were, for 3 months, I think if you asked either of us what day one of training camp would look like, it was not going to look like that. It was not going to look normal the way it always has. And of course, it's not the way it's always been. I mean, this is different, but the way it looks on the practice field, Tom, it looks normal. It looks, it's surreal. Like the way this summer went, for it to be where it is right now is not something I expected.
Yeah. So to summarize, so Rodgers ends up showing up and, has quite the press conference where he lays out all of his, disgruntlement over, what it is that's been bothering him. And I think that was smart on his part to just go ahead and lay it all out. And, I think the one thing that I got out of it was that he's back, but he's not happy. He's not happy about it. He's back to play football, but nothing's changed between him and the organization. And just by the way, they pretty much gave him nothing in terms of new money or any guarantee they would trade him next year. He really had to kind of come back, I think, with his tail between his legs, because he just didn't have leverage that you really need to beat an NFL team.
First of all, have you ever seen a press conference like that? You've seen so many press conferences in your time. Have you seen a press conference that's so open and transparent like that? It was odd.
Yeah, it was odd, and it wasn't controlled by the team. It was definitely him saying what he wanted to say. I remember when, Favre had a press conference to announce he was going into, rehab, and, there was some honesty there, but the club was there. Mike Holmgren was right there to make sure Favre didn't say too much, And this one, the club had absolutely no control over what Rodgers was going to say.
That's very true. It was very much the quarterback, as you said, laying out his disgruntlements. And no NFL player really has any leverage. This isn't the NBA. So it's
right.
It's a different reality for these guys. I think it's still pretty stunning how much Aaron Rodgers was able to get out of it, given the landscape in this league. I mean, he voided a year. He's got a lot. He had to come back for 1 year, so you can't say that he won, because he talked about how he gave very serious consideration to retiring this year. I mean, it was a real thing. He didn't want to come back. He did. So you can't say that Aaron Rodgers won, but he got something out of it. And I think that what's going to be interesting is, there's only a handful of guys in the league that could do what Aaron Rodgers did. Patrick Mahomes is one. He seems happy in Kansas City. Does that reverberate around the league? Do you see guys start to to use more of that power, even if it's only getting small, simple concessions, or is this the one-off? I think it's going to be really interesting to see how that ball gets pushed forward.
See, I'm going to push back because I don't think he got that much. He got the final year of his contract voided, but to me, that is a tie because the Packers are likely to get rid of him after next year anyways. I mean, I think that was probably their plan to get one more year out of him and then transition to Jordan Love if everything went well. And now they have the possibility where, let's say, they win a Super Bowl and Rodgers plays really well and all is forgiven. They can sign him to an extension next year. I just think he did get something out of it. Yes, he's got the option next year to be traded, but he doesn't get to pick where he goes necessarily. He doesn't. The Packers could make him play out his final year. I just, Russell Wilson went up against the Seahawks and lost. Rodgers went up. I don't think he won. You just can't do it alone. It's like you and I going up against our cable company, you know, you can't win, you know, they're going to dictate what the terms are. And you might feel like maybe you got a little discount for a couple months, but that's about it, you know? So it's tough. You know, what I felt like telling Rodgers during that thing was, you know, you were on the committee that helped bargain the CBA, you know, and your biggest strength is your union. And that's when all of this stuff that you're really angry about, off-season stuff, about, you know, not being able to be rewarded, the salary cap stuff, that's, you could have won a lot of stuff during that time. And now you're trying to do it on your own and it just doesn't work. So, I mean, I guess maybe I'm just, you know, old and jaded. I think I said that on Twitter once, but I can't get my head around him getting all that much out of it. And the Packers, I think behind the scenes are like laughing, and that's a shame, you know? I mean, I think it should be a joint effort towards, you know, a goal, and it's not.
I'm just trying to think of when in recent league history a player has gone up against management like this and gotten anything out of it, though. You know, you mentioned the scenario if they go win the Super Bowl, which is with Aaron Rodgers, that's certainly a plausibility. I mean, that could happen. They're a contender, if not a favorite. That only, do you think he extends it if that happens? I mean, that only gives him more leverage. I just have a hard time seeing him wanting to be back in 2022 regardless.
I think time heals a lot of wounds. Whether there's enough time and enough good feeling and enough, goodwill during these next 6 months, I don't know. But winning a Super Bowl would change a lot. And if the Packers were willing to really pay, I mean, does he really want to start over in Las Vegas or Denver or wherever it is? I mean, really, is that what he wants? His
best. It worked for Tom Brady. What if he sees?
Yes, it did. You're right. It did.
What if he sees the attire? Because this whole thing. I mean, I think you and I both agree that this isn't not about money in any way. But I mean, he did have a record extension that he turned down this offseason. He's not made it entirely about money. What this really is about is about power. And if he sees the autonomy set up that Tom Brady had with Tampa Bay elsewhere, and he doesn't feel like he's getting it in Green Bay, why wouldn't he start over? I mean, that's what he wants. And I think that he's also confident enough in his ability, especially if he's playing at MVP level this season, that he's going to feel like, okay, he's at the top of his game and he can go to a setup where he's the de facto GM. Right. And that's what he wanted. I could see him starting over in that situation. It's just,
that's a good point. That is a good point.
But yeah. I don't know. I don't know that he loves the team the management, the setup here anymore.
Yeah, and here's what I think, in my opinion, people need to keep in mind. So Rodgers did this whole list of grievances he has with the organization over the years, the guys they've let go and not been nice to. Well, the majority of those guys were Ted Thompson, were there when Ted Thompson was there. So Ted Thompson was the cold, heartless guy. And Rodgers, from all indications, has no problem with Ted Thompson. I mean, he talks glowingly of Ted Thompson. But the guy he has the problem with, and from what I'm told, it's all about Brian Gutekunst. It's not really that much about Mark Murphy or Russ Ball. Maybe there's some in there, but it's Brian Gutekunst. And all that tells me is he's still pissed about Jordan Love being picked. And that's what it all comes down to. That's my assessment of this. Otherwise, you know, if he was really mad at everybody in the front office, I would have a different feeling about this, but I still think it comes down to him being mad about Jordan Love.
It's really interesting that, you know, the 12 names that he mentioned, he wasn't speaking anything like that until he might have believed these things, but he started to feel himself getting treated the same way that he saw the other 12. It became personal. Is all of a sudden, this is way too real. Wait a second, I'm going down the same road that he sees the Julius Peppers, Clay Matthews, Charles Woodsons, all these guys going down themselves. And that's when it became something to speak about. I thought, going back to his interview with Kenny Mayne in May, I thought Aaron Rodgers revealed perfectly that it's about the quarterback. And the answer, when he started saying it's not about the draft pick. And then he says a lot of these things were set in motion last year with the way that I played. It just kind of,
right.
But what was set in motion last year? Two things happened last year in 2020. Three things if you count COVID. Two things happened in Packers world last year in 2020. Jordan Love gets drafted. Aaron Rodgers wins MVP. That is what was set in motion. So how is that not about the draft pick? It's, of course, about the draft pick. And I think it's going to be really interesting if Aaron Rodgers now goes out, plays at MVP level, and wins a Super Bowl. You know what his demand's going to be. It's going to be to trade Jordan Love. Like that's yeah. So, which I mean, I don't think either of us see them doing. So it's, yeah, I think so much of this is clearly about the quarterback, you know, and it's, I thought there were two moments from that presser, Tom, that really stood out. But the biggest one, when you asked him, when you basically told him, Aaron, these 12 names here, I know these guys. And you'd been wrong on basically all of them. Not all of them, but pretty close to all of them. You would have been wrong. He's like, well, I appreciate the question, Tom. I mean, that's true. Like, he would have been wrong on most of those 12.
Yeah, I laid it out in that column. I went over the 12 guys because I was curious myself. I wanted to go back and jog my memory on those 12 guys. And if you really look at it, probably the two you could say he's absolutely right on was Casey Hayward and Micah Hyde. But even then, there were extenuating circumstances that, made the decision a little bit tougher for the Packers. Go back and if you want, you can see the column at PackersNews.com or JSOnline.com. Teams have to be looking forward, and you cannot continually get older and slower and less athletic. You've got to continually get better and keep producing. Every time you bring back a Jordy Nelson, it affects a good player like Davante Adams, because does Davante Adams become the player he is if Jordy Nelson and Randall Cobb are still on the team and Rodgers is trying to spread the ball around? I just think there's a lot of things you can rip the Packers for in personnel moves. Now, you know, not drafting TJ Watt, drafting Demarius Randall and Quentin Rollins, you know, all those things are terrible personnel moves that they made. But the decision on letting guys go, I think he was wrong on maybe, I'll give him the benefit of the doubt and say 9 out of the 12 he was wrong.
Yeah, and Micah Hyde and Casey Hayward were they were two whiffs by the personnel department, no question about it. But I remember that 2015 offseason, 2015-2016, when they made that decision, and it was not – you go back, I mean, it's kind of revisionist history in a way. They were wrong, and they're paid to get it right. But there was not this outpouring of – this outcry of they have to resign these guys because they just drafted Demaryius Randle, who at the time – now, he turned out to be a bust. But at the time, you did not know yet if he was a bust. He had a decent rookie year, and it was plausible that he was going to be the future of that position. Quentin Rollins played quite a bit as a rookie. Had the pick six against the Rams in his rookie year. Did not with those two, you didn't know yet that they would become busts.
Yeah.
So it was kind of – it was an odd timing. In hindsight – it's obvious. I mean, they should have resigned both. They should have resigned Micah Hyde and Casey Hayward. Well, but at the time, it wasn't as obvious.
But there were also extenuating circumstances. And, you know, as I pointed out in the column about Micah Hyde, Thompson wanted him back immensely. He loved Micah Hyde. But Dom Capers and Joe Witt wanted to play him at slot corner. And they didn't. And Thompson didn't think he could cover. And he thought he should be playing safety, and he wasn't going to play a corner who couldn't cover $6 million a year. He would have paid him if they would have played him at safety. Now he should have put his foot down and said, Capers, you're playing him at safety. He's a safety, you know, but that wasn't the kind of GM he was. And, you know, Casey Hayward was hurt a lot, and he had that torn hamstring. He missed a whole year. He's a slight guy. Ultimately, I think they were wrong. They should have re-signed him. They should have recognized it. But he also benefited from playing zone coverage in San Diego. That's what he was, a zone corner. I still think that was a wrong decision. So, you know, but in each case, it's not like a cut and dry thing. You know, with TJ Lang, they were this close to re-signing him. And it would have been the biggest mistake they could have possibly made because, I mean, Seattle came in and Detroit came in and the number just kept going up and up and up. And TJ Lang played 19 games after he signed for $9 million a year. So it was probably one of the better non-signings that they did. You know,
it was interesting, Tom, when Brian Gutekunst was asked point blank, are there exceptions to the better a year too early than better than a year too late rule with veterans? Meaning is it better to release a guy a year too early than a year too late? Are there exceptions to that? He said, not really. I mean, a few maybe, but
yeah,
not really. I mean, and you know what? He's right. That's the way this league works. And that's the business of this league. You know, it was interesting. I asked, and you know, who knows when he's not at the podium in front of Packers PR, who knows how he really feels. But I asked Randall Cobb point blank, are there hurt feelings, you know, over the way that you were treated and being back now? And the GM even says he doesn't really want you back. You're back because, you know, Aaron Rodgers wants you back. And he said, no, I understand the business. I get the business side. So whether that's true or not, but that is the business side. You get rid of these guys. You release these players a year too early, because if you do it a year too late, you suffer for it.
Yeah, and here's something to remember: the only guys they released were Jordy Nelson, Charles Woodson. I better go through it the other way. So Cobb's contract expired. Micah Hyde's contract expired. Casey Hayward's contract expired. Julius Peppers' contract expired. TJ Lang's contract expired. Brett Goode's contract expired. John Kuhn's contract expired. So it's not like they cut a lot of these guys. They made decisions in free agency whether to bring them back on much higher deals or not. It was only Jordy Nelson and Charles Woodson who they decided to let go. So that's another thing to consider on that too.
And the other thing to me is, I tweeted at the time, it's stunning to me that a quarterback that has watched his team in the past year make Kenny Clark the highest paid nose tackle ever, make David Bakhtiari at the time the highest paid offensive lineman ever, and not to mention gave Aaron Jones the best deal he was going to get.
Yeah.
Can think that his team doesn't invest in its own players. Like that's literally what the Packers do. And at some point you can't keep making everybody the highest paid in the history of the league at that position. At some point that does run out. So, you know, Aaron Rodgers, his whole gripe was he doesn't, the team does not value these guys monetarily the way they should be. They're extreme low ball offers, sometimes doesn't even get a contract. You can't give everyone a contract, no. Especially with other guys, the highest paid ever at their position. That's not the way this league works. At some point you have to make those tough decisions. And again, it's better to make that tough decision a year too early than a year too late.
Right. And would you rather have Randall Cobb now or Elgton Jenkins after he becomes a free agent? Would you rather have, Jordy Nelson, or would you rather have, this doesn't really work, but you get my point. Would you rather have Jaire Alexander? You got to pay those guys in a couple of years. And if you keep building up salary cap, future salary cap hits, you can't afford them. You're letting good players walk. I mean, great players walk. You got to keep the cap in mind for future years. And that's going to be a huge amount of money that they're going to have to spend on just those two guys.
Yeah. Not to mention Davante Adams.
Right. And Za'Darius Smith.
Yeah. I mean, that's not going to stop. Like, those guys are getting paid.
Yeah.
P-A-I-D. They're getting paid.
Billy Turner's going to get paid. Adrian Amos might get paid. You know, I mean, you're talking about MVS. He could have a breakout year this year. And Robert Tonyan, you got to pay him too. So, you know, if you've got Aaron Rodgers' huge salary sitting there, you know, if they would have given him 3 years guaranteed, they would just be, they would be dead. They'd be Jacksonville for a year, you know?
You know, I think a big question, and we're going to talk to Aaron Rodgers today, and you'll find full coverage of that on PackersNews.com. I think a big question that remains is how does Aaron Rodgers define input? Mm-hmm. Like, what does he – does he just want to be heard, or does he want to be heard? Like, does he want to, like have not just a seat at the table, but maybe be near the head of the table making decisions? Because Brian Gutekunst – made it awfully clear that Randall Cobb is a unique circumstance, is what he said. Not something he expects to be the norm. The way he described it was that Aaron Rodgers will be one of the voices. He's earned that. He'll be one of the voices like others in the personnel department around the organization are one of them. But he will be making decisions. I pressed him on relinquishing roster making decisions, which he did, by the way, in signing Randall Cobb, who he would not have signed for the quarterback. He relinquished the roster making decision to Aaron Rodgers on that one. He pushed back very forcefully and said, he's not relinquishing roster decisions. So mm-hmm. Does Aaron Rodgers demand input in a way that he's making decisions? Does he just want to be heard? I think that might be the biggest thing that dictates this next, you know, half a year, whether or not he'll be back in 2022 is how that dynamic works itself out and how he defines that. And if that's followed, I think will be very interesting.
Yeah, I think so too. And I think it was really significant that Gutekunst went out of his way to say, Randall Cobb is Aaron Rodgers signing.
Yeah.
It's not mine. You know, I wasn't going to do it.
Not my ledger.
You know, he was like, so if this doesn't work out, don't blame it on me. You know, I thought that was pretty telling. But anyway, so we've talked all about Aaron Rodgers. The other side of this is Jordan Love. And, is Jordan Love going to be ready next year to take on the quarterback position? And so, you know, I'll let you start first. What's been your impression of Jordan Love in the first week of training camp?
I think he looks a lot more comfortable than he did a year ago, but that's kind of setting a low bar because he just did not look comfortable a year ago. He looked like a rookie quarterback that didn't really have an off season and was really trying to figure things out. There are moments that are positive. You know, there are moments you see the talent, the arm strength. I think the big thing that we haven't seen because he's in that red jersey is his scramble ability. I mean, that's going to be huge for him.
We'll see that in the preseason for sure.
Yeah, exactly. Like that's going to be really interesting in the preseason to see. He's kind of like a roller coaster right now. He's very up and down. He'll make some decent throws, lets it rip. Unlike what he did last, I mean, he didn't really let it rip last year. He's let it rip a little bit in camp, and then he'll look like a young guy that's still got a lot to learn. So I think that there's been a lot of inconsistency. I think that the Packers are sure tickled to death that Aaron Rodgers is back as their quarterback this year. I don't think that they wanted to start the Jordan Love experiment in 2021 for good reason, but there's talent there. It's just like a lot of young quarterbacks. Can they iron out the wrinkles, find consistency, and let their talent override things?
Yeah, there's a couple things that really bother me about him that are going to probably determine how good he's going to be. And one is he can't make some of the simple throws, some of the throws into the flat, he's not accurate enough. And those are really important throws because you've got to lead a guy, you got to put it so that the guy can run with it. And he has a lot of trouble with those throws. His ball is inconsistent. Like you're right. He will rip one down the middle. Probably that's his best throw, is right down the middle. And then you'll see him throw a deep ball and it looks like a duck. It could be, you know, just that he's grinding through all the footwork and things that they require him to do. But there's a lot of question marks with him. And, you know, if they're smart, they continue to draft quarterbacks. It doesn't have to be in the first round, but they should really be drafting quarterbacks every year now, just to make sure that they got an option in case it doesn't work with him.
They need a Brian Brohm.
They better hope he's not Brian Brohm.
Yeah, except like the exact opposite of Brian Brohm. Like Brian Brohm, only the opposite. A guy that can play, but yeah, still. And shoot, Matt Flynn. I mean, that's what the Packers did with Aaron Rodgers. They still drafted quarterbacks. You know, and obviously then he became a future Hall of Famer. But no,
And I hate to go back constantly to old Packer drafts and things, but you know, Ron Wolf, after he picked Brett Favre, took Ty Detmer, he took Mark Brunell, he took Matt Hasselbeck and Aaron Brooks in the draft. I mean, that's four guys who all went on to become starters in the NFL, and this is while he had Brett Favre. And some of those picks were after Favre became an MVP, and he took and Ted Thompson took Rodgers when Favre was still on the team. So you got to keep planning for the future. You can't assume that guy's going to be there. Although with Favre, you could assume he was going to be there every year, but you just can't, you got to keep building your roster.
What's the biggest non-quarterback thing that stood out to you this week?
I would say for me, it's kind of the offensive line and how they've moved guys around, how Elgton Jenkins has stepped in at left tackle and pretty much solidified what could have been a disaster for them, not having David Bakhtiari for the start of the season and maybe as many as six games or more. How they, you know, are able to just plunk Elgton Jenkins there and then go is amazing. And he's a lifesaver for them.
It's incredible that he can play every position like that. I mean, that's a unicorn. Like I wrote, it's the offensive line. I think what's interesting, something I've noticed, it just seems like, you know, that there's different offensive line configurations that they're working out because of injury. And it's not just Elton Jenkins going out to left tackle. That's solidified. It's really what happens at guard with him out at left tackle, because they're John Runyon Jr., Ben Braden at left guard. Ben Braden, by the way, they're high on him. That'll be interesting to see how that battle plays out. But, there's, some things that maybe receiver, how many receivers they keep, especially, that's going to be a big question. And, but for the most part, it sure seems like they've identified their best 11 on both sides. I mean, there's not a lot of movement there at most positions. They've got their secondary back. Devondre Campbell and Chris Barnes have been their inside linebackers. They know what the defensive line looks like. Especially defensively under a new defensive coordinator, they sure seem to be pretty solidified on the top of their depth chart.
Yeah, really, you're right. I think they're pretty much know where everybody's going to be. Like you said, there's competition at guard, but it's going to be one of those three guys. It's either going to be Braden Runyon or Lucas Patrick, assuming or two of those three guys.
Yeah.
Assuming they stay the way they are.
A big thing is going to be at corner when Kevin King comes back, because Eric Stokes has been getting all the first team reps with Kevin King on NFI. So when Kevin comes back, how does that play out? Because neither of those guys are really slot guys.
I think that's ideal, though. I think this is the best thing that could have happened to him. Have Eric Stokes get all this playing time in the beginning, continue to get playing time. When King comes back, he should be the starter. But Stokes can now, he could wind up being a really good nickel guy or dime guy. And you don't necessarily want a rookie being your starter. Jair Alexander did it because he's a special player. And he turned out to be a special player. They didn't know that for sure. And maybe Stokes will be, but right now they have the luxury of not having to start him and putting him at one spot. And that might really help him quite a bit. And it gives them some depth, that's for sure.
He's been taking his lumps against Rodgers and Adams in camp. That's great. That's great exposure for a young guy. That's the top of the league right there. Like Matt LaFleur said, and you don't see a lot of 12s and 17s out there. So, it's taking your lumps in this. And there was a moment on the practice field too, early on, where between team reps, Aaron Rodgers put his arm around Eric Stokes, and they had a conversation. I asked Eric Stokes yesterday what he said. And he said that Rodgers told him, "I'm going to keep making it better." So I mean, that's what it is. I mean, he's taking his loss, but he's getting better, because that's just, you don't see a lot of 12 and 17s out there.
Yeah, yeah. And we talked about this on the video the other day, and he's got to get better around the ball. He's just not. Maybe that was Pete and I yesterday. I can't remember what happened 24 hours ago.
I have no idea what day it is. Is this what is?
I know. It's so weird. I kind of had this feeling like it's Saturday, and I don't know why. But anyway,
It's not the day.
He has to get better around the ball. And that was the knock on him coming out, is that he didn't know how to play the ball, and you can see that he has times when he's right with the guy, and he doesn't know what to do when the ball's there. So they'll have to continue to work on him with that. But you can't teach a guy 4.31 speed, and that's going to help him at least be able to compete.
Hasn't that been Jair Alexander's thing too? Alexander plays the ball, but he doesn't finish, right? He hasn't finished. And we're starting to actually see that more and more. He had a big, obviously you saw what happened in the NFC championship game, but he had a big pick against Rodgers, pick six, the other day.
I think the difference is that Jair Alexander is a smaller guy, and he's got to, when he plays a bigger receiver, odds are he can't out jump the guy. He can't getting, you know, high pointing an interception in those situations is hard for him. But the one thing he does that is different from Eric Stokes is that he plays the ball right through the catch. So the guy makes the catch and he will do everything in his power to strip the ball out. And you see it time and time again, the guy's coming down, trying to tuck it away and he pops it out of there. And so I think that's something that has to do with being undersized. You know, he had a really nice pick against Rodgers the other day. And I think that's the kind of thing that he has to continue to do, is have the confidence to jump balls like that. And I think you're right. He needs to take the next step where some of these plays are interceptions instead of him knocking the ball down, you know, where he needs to go for the interception. But the one thing that I think really separates him is that he just, until that guy is down on the ground, he's going for the ball and he's going to try to knock it out in any way he can.
Yeah, no, that's kind of my recollections for week one.
And so we've really only seen one day of pads. So, you know, there's a lot more to come. Next week will be, you know, a full week, and then they'll have their first preseason game. They got the night practice on Saturday. So it'll start to advance a little bit and we'll start to get to know more. You know, one thing we didn't mention was the injury to Randy Ramsey. Looks like it might be season ending ankle injury. And then them moving Kamal Martin to outside linebacker, at least for a day. And we'll see if that continues. I was really surprised at that.
Me too. You know, I get that they need the depth there. I mean, they definitely, especially with, you know, Randy Ramsey is going to make this team, not just for defense, but mostly for special teams.
Yeah.
I get they need the depth there, but Kamal Martin's, he's shown some good moments at inside linebacker. And he's kind of, his spot has been swallowed up by Devondre Campbell, but he's shown, you know, if he can stay healthy, which he had a moment, he was able to jog off, but he had a moment in the first padded practice where on a one-on-one, he went down and it looked bad at first, but he was able to jog it off. So, you know, staying healthy with Kamal Martin's been the big issue, but he looks like an inside linebacker to me. I don't know.
Yeah. I think that this is an attempt maybe to get him on the field somehow, that, you know, they're happy with what they have at inside linebacker and they know they probably aren't going to play a lot of two inside linebackers on the field. You know, and Chris Barnes has pretty much nailed down one of the spots. And I think Campbell is going to be really valuable as a cover linebacker. And then they're going to play Adrian Amos in there a lot too.
You know? They sure. But that three safety look, that's going to be a common package that they have with Amos in the box. Could it be Kamal Martin at outside line? Could that be a way to provide kind of that Kyler Fackrell coverage at that position and get Preston Smith some more pass rushes?
Well, that's a good point. Yeah, it could be. You know, where you have Za'Darius Smith maybe rushing up the middle in those situations and Kamal Martin can – yeah, that's a good thought. I hadn't thought of that.
It's very clear that Preston Smith feels like his 2020 season had more to do with his role than what he's capable of doing. Now, he also did acknowledge when you asked him, Tom, that he came in leaner and that he cut out some, you know, made some dietary changes and added some extra cardio reps during the offseason training. But he was very adamant that it had to do with the role. And if it has to do with the role, like, if not for a Kamal Martin going over to outside linebacker, taking those coverage reps, I don't know how his role really changes, because Rashawn Gary's, he's never dropped. I mean, he was a five tech at Michigan. Za'Darius Smith, you're not going to drop because he's your all pro.
Yeah.
You need someone to do it. So maybe that's their plan.
Could be. That's not a bad point. That's a legitimate thought, and we'll see how that plays out as camp goes on. So Well, I think that's we've gone long enough, and we've got a press conference to listen to in about 10 minutes. So there's always something, you know, it's this nonstop beat. But hopefully you, the listener, are checking out the website, PackersNews.com, JSOnline.com, and checking in on all our Packer material. We got plenty. It never stops. And remember, we'll be back with podcasts. We're kind of in an irregular schedule till Olivia kicks our butts in gear when she comes back. So anyway, for Ryan, I am Tom. Thanks for joining us, and we will talk to you next time.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.